Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning, Bethel. Good morning, church. Everyone in the house, all of you streaming live, we welcome you in Jesus' name. Oh my, I have got a wonderful word today, and today we're going to talk about I Thou Comfort, because I believe all week the Lord has been impressing on my heart that there is a tsunami of comfort that is starting to move toward the people of God. You know, areas in our hearts that we don't even know what we need, but God has the requisite comfort to pour into our souls wherever there are cracks, wherever there's brickwork that isn't sealed. He's going to seal in a deep sense with new comfort. I don't know about you, but I need comfort. We all, if we are not comforted, we will attempt to comfort ourselves. Isn't that true? We all have a legitimate need for comfort, but we often meet those needs in illegitimate ways. See, I believe all addiction is a hunger for heaven. Instead of attacking someone who is trying to be comforted, maybe it's best to understand that all addiction is a hunger for heaven. We need to see that we are born and made to have face-to-face, I Thou communion with God, but in a felt sense, where it makes a difference down in our tummy. We talked about the resurrection last week, and it's overwhelming to see our blessed Lord rise from the dead on the third day. But I want you to notice that. He literally took flesh. It's called the incarnation. You know what the word comfort in Latin means? To be there. You know when someone is just giving you the gift of presence? They're just there. They don't need to fix you. They don't need to out-talk you. They don't need to talk at all. They're just a presence. Well, literally, God the Son, second person of the triune God, assumes flesh so that he could be here with us and die for us and then pick that humanity up. When he assumed humanity in the womb of the Virgin, he never dropped it off and it will never be put aside. Think of that. He didn't just assume an earth suit for some kind of a performance and then sort of dump it. He is forever the glorified, resurrected God-man seated at the right hand of the Father, bearing in his body the only thing we ever put in heaven, the scars from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Incarnation is the ultimate expression of God with us. Emmanuel, God who with us is. And you know, when your heart is broken, you just need people to come alongside. I've told the story for 40 years of the little boy who's crying for his mother, and she says, "Johnny, don't be afraid. Jesus is up there with you." And he said, "Yeah, but I need love with skin on it." That's incarnatio, to be a presence in somebody's life. I want to start with some of my favorite verses, Isaiah 66:13. "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted, Jerusalem." Isn't that beautiful? Mother love, all the blessedness involved in the idea of a mother bonding with her child and containing her child. And when you first come into the world, you're placed on the breast and you're supposed to be face to face with a welcoming face that bonds you and says, "I welcome you. You matter. You're wonderful." And then when the baby is uncontained, mama is supposed to contain. But many of us have been uncontained, still are. That means there are areas in our hearts that there are cracks and there are seams and there are areas that require God's direct presence and comfort. And I believe a tsunami of comfort is going to wonderfully hit the body of Christ, because we need all those last nooks and crannies filled up. All those last little areas. Remember, I did a teaching called The Gold of Ophir and found out that the gold of Ophir was a gold so pure that it practically didn't require much to process it. And it's not like you're so catastrophically broken that you're going to need 30 more years of counseling. You don't have 30 more years, some of you in the room. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's got to be a quick work. It's got to be where God just brings a minor adjustment. But boy, he can sure do a lot with a touch of comfort. Some 4 or 5 centuries ago in Japan, a lavish technique emerged for repairing broken ceramics. Artisans began using lacquer and gold pigment to put shattered vessels back together. This tradition, known as kintsugi, means golden seams or golden repair. Isn't that a beautiful image that you would mend broken things with such a valuable and beautiful thing? And I believe God has golden seams of comfort today that he wants to bring to this house and to fill you up on the inside. Listen to this. Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Listen, comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that her hard service has been accomplished. Oof. Let that word settle in right now. The Lord has comfort for you, like that liquid gold and lacquer that he's going to pour in and seal all the cracks, all the nooks, all the crannies, the stuff that you haven't been able to get comforted over. I believe the Lord wants to bring a whopping tsunami of comfort, and we receive it in Jesus' name. The Greek word is parakaleo, and again, it means to be near, to be with. Remember when Job's catastrophes happened? His friends initially had a good idea. They came and they laid next to him in sackcloth and ashes for 7 days and they didn't say anything. Oh, that the book stopped there. Because then they opened their mouths and then they started trying to comfort him with their own opinions, their own insights, what they thought, what they felt, and then Job goes right back into being comfortless. You know, many of us have been comfortless in our life. I'm 61. My generation was an unbreastfed generation. Do you remember Dr. Spock, who taught moms that breastfeeding wasn't good for you? I don't know. He wrote a book later retracting it, saying, "What an idiot. You people actually read my book." But this guy, my entire generation, we did not have nursing. We were never nursed. We had a bottle stuck in our mouth, but that's not the same. And my entire generation grew up with putting things in their mouth, trying to find comfort, eating too much, drinking too much, biting the nails, everything was smoking, everything was oral. You notice that? My entire generation was raised without the nourishment and the bonding that we need so desperately so that we can internalize comfort. And because of that, you can see almost every attempt to meet legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. It involves eating something, drinking something, any kind of momentary relief or release or distraction. That's being comfortless. You don't even know what to call it. You just... sort of like a cat that's always trying to make the bed but never really comfortable enough to lay down. You know, there's always a low-grade anxiety inside. Listen to what the word comfort means. To give strength and hope. To cheer. To ease the grief of trouble. To console. To relieve. To encourage. To soothe. And reassure. See, as earthen vessels, we are stewards of God's comfort so that we might in turn comfort one another. So remember, our I-Thou series, there are I-It relationships. Those are subject-object relationships where you're using a spatula, you know. There's not a real deep relationship there. But in I-Thou face-to-face context, that is subject-to-subject. That's where there is to be this tractor beam of comfort, where when no matter what's going on in our world, in our bodies, in our relationships, we need to be plugged directly, I-Thou, into a relationship with Jesus where there's a felt sense of his presence. I mean, reading and learning and being neck up and left brain, that's all nice. But you can read every book on apologetics. You can read every Bible book known and not have any comfort in your tummy. You know what I mean? And you can be addictively driven to read Bible stories. You can be addicted to church. Years ago, there was a book called Toxic Faith, showing how people may not be drinking or smoking, but they were toxic in their going to Christian church meetings. I mean, they were obsessively, compulsively addicted to God now. You know? So these unmet longings inside, we're going to put something in there. Now, for you, you would never drink. You would not... say crap if you had a mouthful. But okay, so you'll point to other people's sins, but let me tell you, you're nurturing yourself some way. It may not be as primitive as the rest of us, but there's remember the commendable workaholism? Mama, where's daddy? He's working for you. Oh, I'm sorry. What a double bind now. I'm the kid, I just want my daddy, and I'm responsible for him having to be gone, and I apologize. We're hungry for heaven. We're hungry for rest and reconciliation and a sense of peace in our own bodies. And if we don't have the real, there's always a counterfeit. Gambling. I know some gambling folk. Ooh, nothing like sitting at that crap table. I don't have a gambling problem. All my hair on red. Yeah. You got the mortgage there. You're going to throw those dice. Ooh, your stomach tightens up. Ooh, what a rush. Some people shop. Shopping can give you comfort. I remember they said Josephine Bonaparte, her only joy in the moment was to acquire something, but she never used it. She would get 10 of this, 5 of that, and in the very act, that was her addictive, never looked at it, never wore it, never did anything. It was the acquisition. She had to have, oh, I love those shoes, give me 10 in every pair, in every color. And she was, it's like a shark. She was always swimming in the water and never content. Nothing could fill that hole of comfort. You know, I remember years ago, I read a mind-boggling, life-changing book by Gary Smalley and John Trent called The Blessing. Do you remember? We talked about, it talked about how you can minister comfort to your parents, to your friends, to your children. And it was 5 points, very simple. Meaningful touch. When a father would bless his son, when a mother would bless her child, there was meaningful touch, remember? Special spoken words of acceptance, positive encouragement. There was valuing the intrinsic worth of the child. Isolate their gift and show that you know who and what they are. Picturing a special future, you're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. And then making a commitment to stay forever. And those 5 components, I took time to weave those into my life. And I'm doing that all the time whenever I'm with anyone I'm with. They don't know it, but they are getting the blessing. And when we don't get that, the blessing is another metaphor for comfort. And what a revolutionary book this was. And Smalley pointed out that when you don't get that blessing down in your tummy from mom or dad, that you're shattered, you're broken, you're incomplete. There's this compulsion. And if, you know, sometimes we're expecting to get meaningful touch, special spoken words of acceptance, our intrinsic gift seen, someone to picture a special future and be there. Maybe that's what we crave that from mama. We crave that from daddy. But some of them are dead, and you can't ever get that from them. But God will reparent you by raising men and women up to come into your life to participate in this tsunami of comfort by the meaningful touch that you need and the special words you need and showing your intrinsic worth, picturing a special future, saying, I'm here for the long haul. Just even hearing that, doesn't that like make you almost cry? That is how we receive comfort from God and others, and then we in turn become instruments of comfort. I, thou, comfort. So don't judge people who are trying to soothe themselves. When children in other parts of the world, that they don't even have parents to hold them, they will just cling to the steel of the bed they're in and try to receive nurturing, holding a piece of steel, and without human touch, they die. Because we're born for comfort. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, so beautiful, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Isn't that something? And look at the anatomy of comfort. It implies two parties. There's the person giving the comfort and the person receiving the comfort. What's interesting, animals have no capacity to receive spiritual comfort. The holy angels have no need of it. Satan and his devils are beyond it. And we're the only ones made in the Imago Dei. We're the only ones made in the image of God that can uniquely receive comfort and in turn give it to others. Think about it. We're like animals. We're bound in time. Yet we have a sense of our own eternity like the angels. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that we have eternity in our hearts. So we made in God's image, we suffer distress in a unique three-dimensional way, past, present, and future. Think about this. We can remember previous distress. We are aware of today's stress. And we also have the ability to catastrophize about something tomorrow. So we're made in the image of God, and that's a blessing, but that puts us in a unique position where in a three-dimensional way, we are extra sensitive to comfortlessness, you know, and when you're not full, you know, we used to say never go shopping hungry, because when you go shopping hungry, you get the ho-hos and the red licorice. I mean, just all the garbage in the world you come out with, and you know, somebody's hungry, you know, you can go shopping hungry at a bar. Mm-hmm. But see, when you eat a healthy meal, then that's a contributing factor to not buying quite as much candy. I remember when I was little, I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to buy a soft ice cream machine and a soda machine, and I'm going to put my mouth 24 hours a day and eat that soft ice cream and then get that soda. I outgrew that. But you know, when you're younger, you think you need certain things that you don't. I used to have to tell my kids the difference between needs and wants. You need a spanking. You want a new motorbike, you know, and even at our age, we're confusing needs and wants. You know, I need that. No, honey, you want that. I tell Brookie all the time, honey, you don't need that. You need air. You need water. You need food. You don't need that doll, but I got it for anyway. So Mr. Boundaries. They used to call me Diamond, Diamond Boundaries. So we uniquely are made in the image of God to receive comfort, and we need comfort. And, you know, one way to realize whether you're being comforted or not is there are wrong ways to comfort people, right? We are to come alongside and be present. But, you know, when you need comfort and you're shattered inside, you need to be listened to and not talked to. Isn't that true? You feel comforted when somebody listens to you. Not just with their ears, but with their whole body. You're the only person in the universe, and the way their body language is. When somebody's reading the newspaper and simultaneously watching a movie on television and going, yeah, yeah, go ahead. They're not listening to you. Or when they interrupt you, your heart is broken, you just need to cry, and they want to hijack the conversation and make it all about them. Well, you're in pain now, but I was your age, and I too was in pain, and oh, I was in much more pain than you are. When you need comfort, you need to listen and not talk. You need to communicate concern and nurture. You need to not interrupt. You need to not fix the person. In fact, you don't have to say anything. Less is more. So you know when you're not being comforted, you know, when you've taken the broken pieces of your heart to the wrong person, the Antichrist of counseling, you know. They just hair lip everything. I mean, you were in pain before, but now you're utterly shattered when they're done with you. All right. Well, don't go to that counselor. That's just a word of wisdom. But we know what it's like. You know, we don't know how to lose anything. Our culture doesn't teach us how to lose anything. They teach us how to get things and hold on to them. So when grief happens, when a loved one dies, we're not trained with grief. And that's when you get all the pat answers. Be glad you had them as long as you did. Everything you say is wrong when someone's grieving. Did you know that? There's a book called The Grief Recovery Handbook, and it tells you the 10 things you never say, and it's all we do. Time will heal all wounds. Well, be glad they were killed instantly. That's why it's good to shut up and just be a presence. Just be parakalao. Just be there. Incarnation. Be there. And like Pastor Rick says, just let the dead air happen. Rick was preaching one time at our old building, and he had his sermon note cards that he was going through. And he missed a card. He didn't know where that card was. So, you know, a second is like an hour standing up here, especially on television, right? So Rick's going through, and then he just looked up and he said, I'm not intimidated by all this dead air. And he just kept looking for his notes. And I did that once at a wedding. The reason I don't do weddings is because they're catastrophic in their negativity. I perjured myself agreeing to marry people, and it's just horrible. You don't want it. People pass out. Everyone has been divorced. It's just a nightmare. And when I thought it could get any worse, I had my cards, you know, because I forget the marriage. You know, I know. Will you, Bill, take Seeley is your lovely wedded wife. And I get to card one, the vows, strategic moment. And I get to card one, card two, card four, and card five. Card three is gone. So I'm winging it. And, you know, you have to repeat exactly the same words, and they repeat them back, and then you have to do it with the... It was a catastrophe. Anyway. Speaking of dead air, not intimidating anybody, let us fill the air with a new fragrance. You know, I thou comfort, the triune God, the thrice holy God, the true holiness and the three holies are engaged in every act of comfort that we receive. The Father is always with us. Exodus 3:12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. when you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. God the Father is always engaged in comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Isn't that delicious? John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate and comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there's always triune comfort. Talk about being bombarded with love. But how do we comfort? Well, we comfort by being present with someone, but being present with our own empathy. Because Paul says, remember all the times you were comfortless? Do you remember what that looked like? Do you remember what that felt like? Well, you're having a young woman or a young man in front of you that are comfortless right now. So I want you to go back into the vault of your memory and seize upon all those times when God met you and he filled you up. And he forgave all your attempts to comfort yourself, and you got the real deal. He took the golden seam of comfort, and he fixed all the broken parts of your vessel. Now, offer that. When it's time to talk, and it's appropriate, then you can share what God did for you. Well, you know, sympathy is cheap. Empathy is expensive. I know when I'm looking into someone's eyes that can empathize with me. If you've not been through a divorce, you don't know what you're talking about. Thank you very much. You hadn't had a child die unexpectedly, you don't know what you're talking about. Thank you. Good ground for silence. But when you can go to a group and see 15 people sitting in a room who have shared that catastrophic loss of a child dying, only then are you in an environment of safety where that empathy becomes God's comfort through them to you. And there's nothing like an empathetic word from someone who gets it. You've been through enough brokenness. You have enough empathy to be a steward of comfort for somebody else. But you got to be with them and listen. And then all of a sudden, this triune beauty and dance that we're led to be a part of becomes something that we can tangibly see in someone else's heart. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't that delicious? Now listen, I want to re-quote Isaiah 40. Because the real crux of the matter, the real heart for me this week comes up in this point. Let me read it again. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Can someone hear the word of the Lord ringing in that? It's been hard, but the worst is over. He's not going to speak harshly to you. The immediate context in Isaiah chapter 40, the people of God had lost their home. They were exiled for 70 years. Are there any parts of home over which you weep? Remember recently I saw a relative's number on my phone who has passed on, isn't here anymore. Saw the number. Have you ever just lost a piece of home you just wish you could dial the phone because someone or something gave you a feeling of home? It's the word. It's amazing. Do you have a home? Do you ever feel at home anywhere? Home related to a person, a place, a thing. See, being comfortless, it means you don't have a sense of home. And the children of Israel had lost their home. And in their case, it was their responsibility. I mean, they contributed to the loss of the home. But God says, whatever piece of home you've been always looking for, always searching for, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to bring you home. It could be a person, a place, a thing, a circumstance. I don't know what it is, but he's going to give you inside the comfort of home. And it's from God's hand. But so many of us have fragmented bits of home, you know, that we just don't. Loved ones that represented that, a location maybe that represented that, friendships that represented that, and you've lost, your home is fragmented, your sense of home. I believe the tsunami of comfort that God is bringing is to bring you finally, not where you're just a sojourner all the time and a pioneer all the time, but that you're not just a potted plant, but you're a planted plant where God can finally plant you. You say, Craig, my life's half gone. What are you talking about? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. We can't imagine it. We can't just make a midship home. But God, through his comfort, mediated to our souls, can finally make you think, I'm home. I'm where I need to be. My roots are deeply planted where I'm supposed to be. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter the mistakes you made. God has that special cozy sense of home. When the day is over and there's a place for you to go to. And I find it miraculous that God's response to his own people who shattered their own home was comfort. Comfort. Ye, my people, I want you to stabilize them. Tell them everything's going to be fine. Give them strength. Give them hope. Give them cheer. Ease their grief. Console. Encourage. Soothe. And reassure. This is the heart of God to you, to me. He really wants us to be at peace inside. All of our love tanks filled up, our tummies full. You've heard me say it over and over, sufficiently suffonsified. When you have a perfect meal and you just can't have another bite, but oh, sufficiently suffonsified. I went over to Wood Ranch the other night and I got the ribs. Whew. It was a meat offering unto the Lord. A selfless servant that I am, I allowed myself to be used to consume. Every bite was so succulent, but I was all by myself outside. So I'm looking around to, like, you know, connect with someone to, like, and aren't these wonderful? You know, I talk to myself anyway. People just look in and try to figure out who I'm talking to. But I have loads of friends, you know. And, but just, it was so perfect. It was so, I was so sufficiently suffonsified. And again, another food analogy to the unweaned pastor. But you know, sometimes you're searching all your life for those elements of blessing which equal comfort, meaningful touch, not inappropriate touch, meaningful touch, special spoken words of acceptance, someone truly building you up positively, someone seeing your intrinsic worth. They get you. They get you. It's like, I get you. Picturing a special future. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. God's got his hand on your life. You're going to be amazing, whatever it is you choose to do. And then the commitment to just be there incarnationally when you're needed. Those 5 points of blessing equal the infusion of comfort that God has called us to give. But people that have never been comforted don't have much to give. So don't go to get counseling from an uncomforted person. I remember somebody was talking about the father was having fights with his son, and they said, well, the problem is there has to be at least one adult in the room for a relationship to happen. And they were both 4 years old, screaming at each other. Hard to give what you don't got. But also, don't judge people who in their desperate, frantic, when an infant is frantic, they need to be contained, not hit. They need to be allowed to vent. You need to be able to cry. You need to be able to share your feelings. You need to be able to vent. You need to be able to be heard by someone who's not intimidated by you. And they're just there for you. Just hold their hand. Just walk, take a walk with them. Boy, being with parakalao, isn't that an answer to so much? Sometimes you just need to vent and you don't really need hyper-counseling. If someone would just shut up and listen to you, that's the greatest gift you can give, is a great big ear. That's the greatest act of love, to listen to someone. Everybody knows what the answer is. Used to have a pastor, he's a little strange, but you'd have a counseling appointment with him, and the person would, you know, give the leading point, you know, like, how can I serve you, you know, and they'd say, well, I'm really upset about my job, this, that, and the other, and they'd bring up things, and the pastor would say, now, if God were sitting here right now, what do you think he would say? They said, well, I don't know. He goes, no, if I were God, and what do you think God would say? And every time they'd say, well, I should probably leave that job and leave that relationship because it's not healthy, and he'd say, let's pray. It was a four-minute therapy session. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. And they were mad, honking mad. They wanted their $15 worth, if it's a pastoral counselor. But it is something everyone knows. If you don't know, nobody knows. There's a therapist named David Viscott that when people would, he'd ask questions, they'd say, I don't know. He goes, if you don't know, nobody knows. Great line. Most everyone will logically arrive where they should, and they probably already know. But let them vent. Let them vomit. Let them scream. Let them do whatever they need to do, because that's the way you mediate comfort. And you're calm, and you're together. It's not two people drowning in the water together. Don't go to that therapist either. Excuse me, I'm drowning. Well, no, I'm drowning too. You're saying, okay, you got to find a stable place. You know, you ever been driving by the side of the road and you stop at the sign and something seems to move? Like, you don't know if the guy's car next to you is moving or you're moving. Well, when that happens, just find something permanent, like the sun or something that isn't moving, so you can, like, measure. Okay. That happened to me the other day. I thought I was moving. They were moving. It was like a quantum physics lecture. I didn't know what was going on. Find something stable and someone stable who is capable and mature enough to comfort you. I, thou, comfort. A tsunami of comfort is on the way. A new home is on the way for you. In the form of a person, a place, or a thing, true comfort is going to fill the cracks and the gaps in your inner being. A mass healing will occur in the body of Christ so that we may bear the majestic mantle of God's anointing in these last days. Be encouraged. You know, right now, if you just, wherever you are, you just close your eyes. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to minister to you. Holy Father, God of all comfort, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Comforter, Holy Spirit, our standby, our Comforter, the one who is with us and will never leave us. Father, I pray for your precious daughter right now, that just like honey poured deep, warm honey poured deeply down into her belly, into her tummy, into all the broken places right now, your Holy Spirit would fill in the cracks with golden seams of comfort, would fill the emptiness inside. And Lord, we thank you for, we ask for mercy for those ways that we're trying to comfort ourselves, maybe in illegitimate ways. Thank you for your understanding, and thank you, Lord, for anything in my little sister's life, Lord, where she has a sense of a fragmented home or a loss of comfort, that you would just pour your felt presence into her tummy and she would become sufficiently sponsified, filled up, full and complete. Not someday in heaven, but here, now. Father, I thank you for my brother watching, Lord God, that you would go deep, deep down inside the places we don't even know where to look or where to go. You're a mighty God. Thank you that we can apprehend things, but we'll never comprehend them. We don't need to know everything, but we do know that you are our Comforter. So, Lord, I speak comfort, comfort to my brother. Comfort, comfort to him. That his home picture would be put back together, that he would finally know who he is and why he's here and why he matters. We pray for this comfort in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, just host that. Just sit with that for a while. Go for a walk. You don't need to, you know, shoot the hamster wheel. You don't need to be thinking all the time. Just, I would say, shoot the hamster. You know, when you're obsessively thinking about, just take a walk to be at peace. Go to a comfortable place. Just sort of don't talk for a while. Don't watch 60 evidences of social media every second. Just sometimes it's good to just get away. We sometimes don't allow any silence, redemptive silence in our lives, and we're allergic to silence, like it's scary. No. This week, just make a little homework, take a walk. You don't have to be listening to a device, don't have to be listening to music, don't have to be thinking your whole life. Just be at peace. You know, give God an opportunity to walk alongside of you without even needing to talk to him. He knows your mind and your heart anyway. You know, there's some people that you don't even need to talk and you're comfortable being around them. Isn't that beautiful? That's comfort. That's a home experience. Well, that's it. That's all, folks. Boy, I'll tell you, this ministered to me all week. It's like I've been crying, I've been thinking about so many things, and it's just being relieved of the frantic need to be comforted and just sort of stand still long enough where Slinky Dog can catch up and God can bring healing to things. Because if Slinky Dog keeps moving, there's never closure. You know what I mean? You're just walking around like a chain-smoking chihuahua all the time. That just frantic, anxious. And by the way, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you hang around anxious people, lo and behold, you're going to be anxious. You hang around crazy people, you're going to be crazy. You really need to know there's a litmus test. You know, you got to sort of be aware where you're connected and what kind of influence is flowing in and out. Amen? It's wise. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. There's something so beautiful about it because God does have friends for you. And that's what we need to start praying. We need to say, Lord, please bring the safe people into my life. I'm lonely. I need to have people I can trust that are appropriate relationships. And he will surface those people and bring them to you. In fact, I just would close with that prayer. Father, I pray for your beloved right now listening under the sound of my voice that you would supply a friend or friends with safety, lifelong confidants that are there for them. God, we have shown that we can pick a crazy lot sometimes. We ask you to pick for us safe men, women, boys, and girls that can nourish us, and we will nourish them in turn. And we ask you to provide them in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. All right, put a welcome mat out for the safe people. Amen. God bless you. We love you. If you have any prayer requests, you can send them in. If you love this ministry and it feeds you, then you feed us. We bless one another. There's an ebb and flow in all that God does. But we thank God for you. We'll be praying for you this week. And bye-bye. Thank you, Mike Fuller, for doing all that you do. Amen. Can you all at home thank God for Mike? He's got like a wizard's outfit on back there running everything. Say hi to everyone, Gretchen.
Hi.
See? She's a good girl. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.